You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Right? It's better, as I said before, better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all. Yes. Now, what about, when I was out on my own due to alcoholism and some other problems, my father was killed in a car accident when I was very young, living on my own at 14. Now, I will say this, so I'm a born-again Christian, that happened to me when I was 29. So, of course, I don't believe that homosexuality is sinless. I think it's a sin. Okay. But I also think adultery is a sin, and I think guys that are running church that have been married three times, you know, who are you to point a finger? Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this. I don't know what to do with this in that, first of all, I believe Jesus taught me a few years ago, I used to be judgmental. He said, I didn't save you to judge others. I saved you to love others, you know, bring him to relation. In other words, so now I'll be friends with anybody. And if I get to tell you about my Jesus, I get to. What you do is really, on your side of the street, is really not my business. Now, what do you do about this, though? So let's say we agree that it's not a lifestyle you would like to promote. But I can tell you as a 14-year-old, if some gay couple of two lesbians or two gay guys said, hey, we're going to love you, we want to take you in, nobody did that for me. And I tell you what, it would have been really nice to have a home back then. You know, it says, so what do you do with that?
So we as a Christian ministry stand on our biblical convictions, and we license Bible-believing Christians that align with our spiritual statements of faith. So we don't license homosexual couples. There's two other great organizations in this area that we refer them to. And really, the way that we support our families through the local church, if you're not in a church, you don't reap the benefits that how we operate. So we want to plug you in with a place that you're going to be best served. Mm-hmm. And with us, we do our service through the local body of the church.
Well, there has to come a place where you draw the line in the sand. I mean, what would Jesus say to Rhett? Well, Rhett, what do you want? You know what I mean? There has to be. He said, let your yea be yea, yet your nay be nay. And he said, I wish above all things that thou were either hot or cold, for if you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And that's what you're doing. You're saying, well, this is where we're drawing. No hatred. People, I want, because, you know, they get this whole thing going on with Christians. We do not hate anybody. No homosexuals, no lesbians, no nothing. We don't hate anybody. It's just that this is a standard that we believe is the proper standard, but also with yourself. If you're involved in a sin, you know, take yourself out of a leadership position, right? Whether you're in a church or whatever you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Until you clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, who wants to speak next?
it's a good conversation to have.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to have the conversation.
Thank you.
And I appreciate the dialogue back and forth. Mm-hmm. And again, who we are as a ministry first is reflective of how we see the gospel. And we want children to be coming into homes that the family, a marriage is representative of the gospel, of the way the relationship of God is with his church. And the biblically accurate model of that is a heterosexual relationship. So that's what we model.
I'd even speak to the fact of, you know, when you've got Christian families and you have a mom and a dad, you know, present, a foster mom and dad present for a child who might be fatherless or motherless. And, you know, for a young kid, we live in a culture where we see the repercussions of children who grow up without dads or without moms. And, you know,
if you're an African-American child and you're a boy, there's a 96% chance if you don't have a dad in the house, you're going to go to prison.
Is that the statistic? I'm not sure.
It's something like that. I mean, I know some statistics are made up on the spot, but I don't know what the exact one is. You know.
But even then, I mean, there is something powerful, and I think that's just because, you know, the Bible is to be a benefit to the culture and the society that it's supposed to support. That's why you want people to live by Christian standards, even if they don't believe. There are certain values and qualities about a Christian life, education, following the Ten Commandments. I mean, that is a blessing. In fact, ancient Israel, because of their faithfulness to God in the years that they were, was to actually be a blessing for the nations around them, which were practically enemies of God. And so I think when you represent Christ and Jesus well, in practice through the Four Kids program or through just in the local church, it is to be a blessing to those who you get in contact with.
Mm-hmm. And I will clarify that in according to the state and according to Four Kids, you don't have to be married in order to be a licensed foster parent. So you could be a single mm-hmm. mom yeah. or a single dad as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing the influence, you know. I was just thinking, I was writing down two names while you were talking. That's Mr. Holleran. He was my, what did you call, and when I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember, but we used to teach you how to drive a car in school. Okay. I think they called driver's ed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anyway, Mr. Holleran, how long did I know him for? A few weeks? Yet all my life I've thought of Mr. Holleran because when I see a ball coming out into the street, I know a child's going to follow. All these little lessons. Mm-hmm. When you see, you want to move traffic, get under the light, move. But, you know, you don't have to turn to the right before you turn to the left. All these things. Who knows that he saved my life? And then there's Mr. Bender, who was my principal till I was in ninth grade. That's it. Never saw him again. Yet I remember his kind, sweet smile and his demeanor towards me gave me somehow value. Mm-hmm. So you know you're right. Maybe you're only a foster child for a week or a month, mm-hmm. but how they're going to hold on to that love like a golden nugget, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And I heard it put this way too, and it really brought a lot of healing to myself and my wife, where the children needed us in that time to be able to trust again, because what they had been through was so dramatic, and they just lost all faith, all trust in a parental figure. So even though we were only in their life for a month, we were able to show them love of Christ and allow them to trust
again. What about the fact that you might be letting them go because beyond your power and they're being put back with those same people that perpetrated a crime?
So after that, they were placed with a licensed foster family from a different organization, and they had them for about a year and were able to adopt them.
No, why couldn't they stay with you?
It was respite at the time where we didn't have any certifications, any licensing, anything like that. So we were just a bed. We were a home to.
So let's say somebody's out there interested. First of all, let's continually give out your name and number. Yeah. It's Four Kids.
Yes.
Hope, Homes, and Healing. Yeah. You're located on the internet.
Yeah, fourkids.us. Yes.
Fourkids.us. That's
yep.
easy.
Yeah,
and the letter, the number four.
Numerical four, yep.
Fourkids.us. Yep. Okay. So you just said something, and I interrupted myself by saying that.
Well, Michael King Corey, their home office is based out of
Stewart. Yep.
And they represent Four Kids of the Treasure Coast. But Four Kids started back in the day.
97.
Down in Fort Lauderdale. And it's expanded hugely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think a wonderful agency for almost the entire peninsula, it seems
all
like.
All of South Florida. So we serve 13 different counties of South Florida.
What was the genesis? Mm-hmm. Who?
So Calvary Fort Lauderdale, Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale.
Calvary Chapel started.
Of Fort Lauderdale, yeah. We're still an auxiliary ministry of Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale.
I knew Pastor Chuck Smith.
Okay.
I had breakfast with him twice when he was alive.
That's amazing.
Yeah. A real, you know, the real McCoy.
Yeah. So in 1997, started off with a vision with a few people, and God has really blessed it again. I mean, you said in the beginning, God has a special blessing on those who are in this space of we try to steer away from the term orphan unless it's in its accurate meaning. Because a lot of the children that come into foster care, we also want to be respectful of their biological family. So
you don't use the word orphan.
No.
We would only use it in the classical sense of a child who has lost their birth parents to death. So they're children, kids in foster care.
What was the quote you had from the Bible when we started this interview?
So James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God is caring for orphans and widows and keeping oneself unstained from the world.
Yeah, pretty cool. Okay, so there's a couple of things. We need to talk about money. We need to talk about training. Which do we want to broach first? How about the training?
You got a picture here, not from us guys, but just the roles here. Michael, who helps kind of oversee all the kind of the counselors and the programs that help foster parents be foster parents. So he makes sure that there are people who get licensed and walk through training and trauma-informed training. And he even trains their employees to then train the families. And then a guy like Corey, through church engagement, connects these families from local churches. You get the local church involved, you've got this natural support system, which mm-hmm. is so healthy. I think this is why 4Kids has done so well, is they've relied on the local church be the kingdom builder. And then, I pastor 4Church, but also they trained me as a foster parent. And so I'm seeing the other side of, okay, so they're equipping me, they're keeping me from burnout, because they've got a lot of support for parents, such as respite care mm-hmm. when we needed some time off. But also when we've got birthdays, and they send over little packages, and they just and like even a family picnic, like there's one this Saturday. So quick plug, but yeah. Riverside Park.
Well, you
tomorrow.
Can confer with the other parents.
Yes, and we've got a weekly meetup Thursday nights. Weirdly, I can't come on those Thursdays, but my wife's in Bible study, so I'm running a preschool at 8 o'clock. But so all of these key positions wrap around this child in foster care, and I share the same conviction you do. I even more so don't use the term foster child. It's a child yep. in foster care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, child
in foster care.
So
yeah,
not a foster child.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
child under the umbrella of foster care. That's good. There's power in that.
And so you put these identities together, and you build a system to give a child the most success to thrive and reconnect to their family in a way that's safe and loving, and hopefully spurs them on to make a choice for Christ at the end of it all.
Right. Yeah. People need a word, and they need a direction. This may seem, I don't know if I should bring this up or not, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. So I knew a girl when I was 16, and her mother said was a nymphomaniac or whore. And so she told me that she thought that was her call in life, because her mother had been that. And see, people are groping for a position. They want to know what's yay and nay. They want to know what's drawn in the sand. You know, in any society, we're talking about this issue before, in any society throughout history, where the lines become vague before what's expected from a female or a male, that society soon falls apart. Mm-hmm. Greece, Rome, go on, yeah. Check out history. Mm-hmm. And that's why they want to erase history, right? But anyway, so... there's my age showing. What was I going to say about? I was talking about. What was I talking about? It's kind of.
Well, you're blending roles, then maybe.
Yeah. The roles. What was I going to say?
Well, and descriptions too, like.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I told you about that lady Florine, and she said she was going to be thought she should be a whore. But if you come and say, I remember when I used to go to a Bible study 30 years ago, and I would pick up this old Italian lady.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.